This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, here we go. It's Brock and Salk, final hour of our week here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Jake Heaps is in for Brock, who is off to Dallas today. He's got Oklahoma at TCU tomorrow morning, so you can watch Brock do that game. Jake is in, and it's Friday at 9, which means open phone lines. And I don't understand why we even have a single line open right now, Howdy.
I know it.
There are more things to talk about than ever.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are in a bye week, and I will punish, I swear I'll do it. I will punish you with bad radio for the next 45 minutes. I will talk about only things that I care about.
He's not bluffing, guys. He's not bluffing.
I won't talk about what you want. I won't talk about what I think the people want. I will only talk about what
the Mariners?
That's right. I may talk about the Mariners. I may talk about in depth what happened in the postseason here in baseball. I may talk about things that you care about. I may not even talk about sports. I might just tell you stories about my kids.
No!
Yeah, exactly. I'll threaten it.
Get
I'll
on the phone!
Right now. So, all right.
Score night!
206-421-3776. whatever is on your mind. And don't say, how would that be different from any other day? That's how dare you. How dare you comment like that? All right, Jake, the lines are open. Are you prepared for this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's see who we've got. I got, I know what Mike and Edmonds wants to talk about. Mike is a one-trick pony. Mike, what's on your mind today? Hello, Mike. Howdy, you got to pull up his, you got to pull up the pot there. Mike, hello.
What's going on, Mike?
There we go. What's going on?
Sorry, guys. I'm turning to you guys for help.
Okay.
I'm watching all this great baseball, and I'm thinking, what is there to look forward to with the Mariners next year? I'm frustrated beyond belief with Felix's excuses and his denials. I'm tired of Seager striking out with men on base. I'm tired of Zunino hovering around 200.
Amen.
And I'm even tired of Segura and his me first attitude. Yeah. I think he's a problem.
Well, here's the problem, Mike. Look, I agree with everything you just said except for the very first thing, because we don't know what the 2019 Mariners look like yet. As much as Jerry, I'm not real wild about the words that have been coming out of his mouth yet, actions are going to speak a whole lot louder than words. And let's wait and see whether Felix Hernandez is back next year.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see whether or not Gene Segura is back next year. Let's wait and see whether Mike Zunino, they're going to go in and sort of just hope and guess that he's going to be, turn himself into a real starting catcher next year. Let's just, you got to wait and see before you worry about those things, right?
But do you really think that there are pieces they could add that are going to put them on the level of the Astros?
No. Not in a year. No, I don't think so, which is why I think they should rebuild. And that's exactly the point. Do I think they could eventually get to that level? Yes, absolutely. But if you're going to let Nelson Cruz walk away, and that seems to be what's happening as
which
of right now,
crazy,
and you're not going to start trading away your best player, starting with Edwin Diaz, it has that list has to start with Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
If you want to get better, and not for next year, but long term, you have to trade Edwin Diaz this offseason. His value will never be higher, never, than it is right now.
Nope.
With the amount of team control that you can offer coming off the year that he just had,
how young
with the
he
desperation
is.
That teams have for pitching and relief pitching like that,
yep.
You have to trade Edwin Diaz this offseason. Have to. Mitch Haniger would be next on my list, Marco Gonzalez, James Paxton. Yes, I think you could deal all those guys.
Yeah.
But almost no matter what, I want them to trade Edwin Diaz. And it's not because I don't like him. I love him.
Right.
I love watching him. I love his attitude. I love his story. I love when he talks. I love his combination of two pitches. And I would trade him today if I was offered the right package.
Yeah. It's a gut punch to even hear you saying that.
Of course.
Like, it's just, it hurts.
Of course. Do you think I want to trade Edwin
no,
Diaz?
No, I know you don't.
No!
How
does he not hurt his voice?
I just...
My voice hurts even, like, attempting to sort of impersonate
it doesn't.
That.
It doesn't. One of a kind.
It does.
It doesn't.
All right. You can have the last word.
No!
How can I not give you the last? I'm giving you the last word. You just have to take it.
No.
All right. It's enough, Chris Russo.
Jeez. I am interested. Like you said, we have to wait and see. We have to wait and see because at this point in the game, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not sure where the logical moves are here, because I don't think DePoto's listening to you, Salk. I don't think he's listening
to
you.
We'll wait and see. What he says and what he does may be two different things. 206-421-3776. Ted is in Bonnie Lake. Ted, good morning. You're on Brock and Salk.
What's up,
hey,
Ted?
Guys. How's it going, guys?
Fantastic. How about you?
Great. Hey, I love the show. And I'm going to just say this. I'm a huge Husky fan. I am rooting for the Cougs tomorrow. They better beat the Ducks.
All right, man. I'm with you. Now, why do you say that? Is it more hatred towards Oregon, or is it because you're secretly rooting for the Cougs?
You know, I don't have animosity toward the Cougs. I'm actually not from the state. I went to UW for grad school. I really like the Cougs, except when we play them in the Apple Cup. Mm-hmm. I just hate the Oregon Ducks.
Okay.
I just hate them. I think they're the Yankees of college football.
Yeah, I hear you.
Ted, what did you tell the call screener that you wanted to say, though?
Because... So I just wanted to talk about the expectations with the Huskies this year. I follow Husky football pretty closely, and it's driven me nuts this year, all this playoff talk with the Huskies.
Okay, why?
I know the Huskies are a good team, but I've watched the Huskies every year. I don't know how anybody could watch them play and legitimately say that they belong in the top four playing against SEC schools.
Hmm.
I think they're a solid Pac-12 team. I think they've got a shot at the North. But to put them in the same category as Alabama, to talk about Clemson,
yeah.
I don't want to watch them get curb stomped again in a bowl game. I think the Huskies still have a long way to go to get to the point where they're going to be that type of power.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Ted.
Do you think that's true, Jake? Do they have a long way to go to be that kind of power?
No, I don't. And this is I understand what he's saying, that, hey, I don't want to play Alabama at the end of the year and have a horrible loss and have the season end like that. That's the thing about college football with bowl games and all that. You have an opportunity to end the year on a high note, and now you've got great things to talk about. You feel good. There's a feel-good aspect to it, and you've got lots of ideas for the future. Good positive ideas for the future. But in this regard with Ted, you cannot tell me that the Huskies, even though they lost, and Salk, this might drive you nuts as I say this, you can't tell me that the Huskies weren't the better team that day. They shot themselves in the foot, Salk. They shot themselves in the foot in the red zone.
Doesn't that make them not the better team?
No. No. I'm with Jake on that point.
I'm just telling you, I understand. Yes, they lost, and I get it. Yes, they lost, and they made no mistakes, so they're not the better team.
Right.
But I'm telling you.
That's part of being the better team.
I know.
It's the number of mistakes
I know.
Made.
But it was, to me, they were the team that, if they would have capitalized on their opportunities, easy opportunities. I'm not talking about what-ifs here, what-ifs there. I'm talking about easy opportunities that they had in the red zone.
You're not talking about coin flip situations.
No, I'm not talking about, big,
I'm not talking about executing. You're not talking about executing that, right?
Yes.
You're not talking about actually delivering on it. You just mean in theory.
No, I mean executing in the play, one play away.
Why didn't they do that? Because Oregon did execute those final plays, and that's why they won.
They did. But so I'm just saying that they're not
Husky
far
fans
off.
Are amazing. I want nothing more than to enjoy and like the Huskies. And the only thing that keeps me from it are you and Brock and Howdy and Danny and the rest of the Husky fans I know, because you're delusional.
No.
You're delusional.
No.
You are the only thing keeping me from being a full-fledged Husky fan. You're delusional.
I'm arguing the point. I'm arguing the point that they are so inferior to SEC opponents. I don't think they were inferior to Auburn. I think that they matched up pretty well with Auburn.
I agree with that.
And I think,
but compared to Alabama and Clemson and the best of the best,
I think
you think they're at that level.
I think Alabama, no. I think Clemson, they can definitely hang.
Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. You think they're in that same conversation with those teams?
I think that they can hang.
I don't know, man. Now, I think the problem is this. And when you start talking about expectations, this was the year they needed to have high expectations.
They did.
You have a senior quarterback. You got Gaskin coming back for another year. You've got your recruiting classes now starting to take shape after going to the Final Four a few years ago.
Yep.
Like, this is when you're supposed to capitalize on all this.
Yes.
And I think right now, to have lost two games at this stage in the season, that is disappointing. And I don't think it's the fault of the expectations. I think that they needed to deliver in a few of these
spots. Correct. And that's you know, kind of going to my point is I knew that was going to strike a chord with you.
Yes.
But I that's where I'm at is I don't think that this team was a bad team. I don't think we were wrong for having those expectations. I just think at the end of the day, they were in good positions to win these games and they just didn't pull it off. And that to me is that's not acceptable.
206-421-3776. Good point there. Open phone lines on any subject. You guys are in charge controlling the talk. Bradley is in Lake Stevens. Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I just want to talk about hockey.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think hockey is the perfect sport for Seattle, right?
Hey, man.
How come? Fast-paced.
Yep.
And there's nothing not to love about it, right?
I agree.
I'm just wondering what you think the Silver Tips and the Thunderbirds will have as an impact on the new Seattle franchise.
How so? You mean like the fact that they've been here already, will those fan bases sort of transfer over?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering that. And like if that, you know, within the next few years before the stadium is built, will help grow that fan base. Before.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you know, you're a hockey fan here in Seattle. What do you think?
I hope so. I just think some of those venues like the Everett Arena are too small to really house a huge influx of new fans.
Right. Well, thankfully they don't have to, right? I mean, you know, what they will do here over the next few years is continue to be a spot where people who want to get excited about the NHL can watch and hopefully learn about the game. But look, Bradley, this is the thing for me. I think you're right. Jake, I think people are going to love hockey in this town, honestly.
Absolutely.
And I'm biased. I love it. I grew up watching hockey. I love it. I know there's people who say you have to see it live in order to like it. I disagree. I think it's an awesome game on TV. It's a tremendous game live. I like pretty much everything about the game of hockey. And I'll tell anybody, hey, do you think I'd like hockey? Yeah, watch one team for an entire season.
Yeah.
So that you really get to know the players on that team. And you get to know their personality and what they do and who's on what line. And at the end of that year, I promise you will love hockey and you'll love that team. But look, it's going to take a while for people to understand the sport. It is not soccer.
Yeah.
It's not played by five-year-old kids. And I'm not even taking a shot at soccer. Soccer is a simple game, whether you like it or not. This is not me. I know I joke around a lot about the game of soccer.
Yeah.
But soccer is simple. You don't need to have played it since you were 2 years old. You don't need to study it in order to enjoy going to CenturyLink and watching the Sounders. It's a pretty simple game.
Yeah.
Hockey is not that simple.
Right.
You're going to have to learn offside. You're going to have to learn icing. You're going to have to learn what the difference is between the neutral zone and the offensive zone. It's going to take some work. It is more like football or baseball where there's some work required at the beginning to understand some of the goals of the sport.
Yeah.
But once you do, the payoff is going to be incredible, and it is fast-paced, and it is hard-hitting, and there's actually a fair amount of scoring in hockey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why people are really, I swear, you're going to love this sport once it gets here.
Yeah.
206-421-3776. And I'm excited about that process of people kind of learning about it. We got some ideas here at the station that we'll be digging into. All right. This is Rich in Pullman. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah. This is call is in regards to the car few back that said he roots for the Cougs all but once a year. And just want him to know, you seem like a decent guy, but we Coug fans, we hate you, and we hate your type.
Yes. You don't want them rooting for you this weekend.
It is so condescending. Do fans not understand how condescending that is? Like, oh, we think you're so cute and adorable, and we'll root for you, all but one day a year. No, we don't want
I don't think that's what he was saying, though. Hold on. Wait, Rich, I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he's just saying they're rooting for the Cougs to beat Oregon so that they can get themselves back into the Rose Bowl conversation.
No, he did say.
Oh, really?
He did say, yeah. He did say yes because of Oregon, but also don't mind him until we play the Apple Cup.
Yeah, this is a conversation we have with Husky fans throughout the year, and it is so annoying. Yes, we know our place right now. We're hoping that Leach can continue to build this thing and that we are hated 365 days a year. But just know, for right now, we hate that
What's it like? Are you over there now? Have you seen, like, are you part of the madness?
No, we just left Seattle a little while ago. We're just past North Bend.
All right.
Going to play some Blues Ridge this afternoon.
All right.
Hopefully have a great day tomorrow.
Good luck,
nice,
buddy.
Good luck
over there.
Drive safe.
All right. Danny, Dave, and Moore, you can go say hi to them. They'll be in RV Lot 1 this afternoon doing their show.
This is a hilarious conversation. Bob Stelton and I talked about this when we were on, and it is. Like, we were talking with Kyle, and how annoying it is that UW fans do this all the time.
Of course.
Which is
why they should do it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what rivalries are. You should continue to pat the little Cougs on the head.
I root for the Cougs every single game until they play the Huskies.
I love that you do that obnoxiously.
But isn't
that's
it
so great?
But isn't it weird, though? Isn't it weird as a rival, as an in-state rival? Yeah. Like, Alabama and Auburn hate each other.
That's a different type of rivalry, though.
I know.
This type of rivalry is so great for me because I truly believe that the Cougs are worse than the Huskies. I believe that they are truly inferior in pretty much every way. So I can root for them because I know they're never as good as my Huskies.
Javi can say that because, you know, he didn't actually go to UW.
That's right.
206-421-3776. Grab Jeff, who's in Seattle. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
How you doing, Jeff?
Happy Friday, everybody.
What's up, man?
Happy Friday.
There's a lot on my mind. You know, there's a lot going on. One, rest in peace, Paul Allen. He's a great man. Two, you know, people were sleeping on the Seahawks super early. I was thinking, you know, 11-12 was possible. I think maybe those we lost in, you know, Denver and Chicago. But, dude, people slept on Pete Carroll. People forgot that it was Pete Carroll's defense that made everybody great.
Mm-hmm.
And with the fresh blood, it's super exciting. And go Ducks. Ducks should be undefeated if it wasn't for a rookie fumbling instead of just going down and letting the clock go out. So, yeah, how about that?
You do have a lot on your mind this morning, Jeff.
Yeah, all right,
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think you and I are going to see that middle one the same. I really do believe that the world slept on Pete Carroll this offseason, and shame on them for doing so.
Yeah, obviously, like I've said, I still think that the jury's out on what this football team can ultimately be, and the next 4 weeks are going to answer that. But I think I agree with you with the Pete Carroll conversation mm-hmm. and with the John Schneider conversation. When people were talking about these guys, there was obviously a lack of belief in what these guys could do, especially in the second go around.
Why do you think that is?
I think people are quick to be pessimistic, and I think that people wanted to see them kind of fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to see this mighty giant that had all these Pro Bowl players and great personalities and all that that ended up getting released or cut, or that there was going to be repercussions for that. I think people want to see that.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at that roster, you can't tell me going to this year, unless you were just a complete optimist, that, oh, I think this team's going to go 11 and whatever, and 12, you know, 11-12 win season. I just can't get on board with that.
No, but you could have been I was optimistic about the team and the organization, even if I wasn't necessarily about their record this year.
Yes.
Because I'm optimistic that Pete Carroll knows what he's doing, that it wasn't just about Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and the others, that
right.
he was going to find another crop that would start to replace them. And yeah, it's not easy to do. Those guys
yes.
are some elite level talent. But this is not Pete's first rodeo, and anybody who thought he was just going to get driven out of town,
right.
I thought that was sort of ludicrous right from the start. Jake Keeps is in.
Agreed.
You guys are on the horn, 206-421-3776. Open lines, our buddy Kendall in Santa Monica. What's up, Kendall?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I was, this week I've been thinking a lot about Paul Allen, and I remember when I first moved to Seattle in 2008, and, you know, just walking around the city, and as I was exploring the city, there are all these different, whether it's a building or an art foundation that I learned, oh, Paul Allen was behind that. And mm-hmm. then you hear about all the players, and I don't know, I mean, I don't really follow other teams, so I don't know if this always happens when owners pass away, but there have been so many players, you know, whether from the Blazers or the Seahawks, who have just spoken so warmly about him, and then obviously then the fans, what we've gotten, you know, as 12s with the Seahawks and the moments we've had. And, you know, for me, it's just kind of, you know, obviously it's sad that he passed. It's also motivating because not all of us are going to have $20 billion. But I think when you look at the mark that Paul Allen left on the world and left on the area and left on his community, it's at least inspiring to me that, you know, with all of us with the time that we have, that we can at least try to leave a mark however we can.
Where'd you move from, Kendall, when you moved here?
Well, I was at USC, and then I moved up from Los Angeles to Seattle.
Did you know? I mean, because I moved here around the same time. I moved here in 2009. Did you know that Paul Allen was as much of a driving force behind this city as he was?
No, not before I came in. And then, you know, I was living downtown, like a block south of Pike Place Market, and walk to Benaroya Hall, and, you know, you just, you, as you discover more about the city and meet people who've been in Seattle for a very long time, you start learning that, wow, this guy has just left his mark and left his imprint and his essence on so many different
on this city too. I mean, because look, Bill Gates has more money, and if you're coming from the outside, I'm sure you knew Bill Gates. You knew that name awfully well. Jeff Bezos now has more money than anybody, and has impacted Seattle a ton, obviously through Amazon.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that Paul, before I moved here, and I came to learn, obviously, that Paul Allen really was the Seattle billionaire.
Yes.
He was the guy that actually shaped this city and who cared for this city. And that's not to say Bill Gates doesn't, but Bill Gates is focused out.
Right.
He's focused internationally and the Gates Foundation, everything else that goes out. Paul Allen did some of that, but he was also focused in.
Yes.
He was focused here in his own community. I got a lot of respect for that.
Yeah. I, when you look at it and you mention a Bill Gates and you mention some of these other bigger named, you know, millionaire, billionaire people that have come from Washington. You know, for example, Bill Gates, it's something that you kind of take pride in. Like, yeah, Bill Gates is from here and all that. But in terms of Paul Allen, there was just kind of a reverence because of everything that he has put into Seattle. And it's not to say that Bill Gates hasn't, but Paul Allen is focused in this area. He is focused in this area, and not just here, but the entire Pacific Northwest, and along with doing other things outside. But he has spent so much time here. And the fact that the coolest thing to me is when he bought the Seahawks, and, you know, obviously it's been well documented that he bought it for the community. You know, he didn't buy it because he was stoked about owning an NFL franchise. I mean, I think he grew to love it, but that wasn't his purpose in doing it. And his civic commitment to this community was just, it's incredible.
I don't know that you can come up with another example like that. I'd be curious to hear if there's another owner who owned a team for that reason. But I agree with all of it. And obviously losing a Titan, not only in business, but in sports, and certainly in Seattle earlier this week. All right, phone lines still open. We got one line open if you want to jump in here, 206-421-3776. Any subject that's on your mind, I got a Russell call coming up. Got more on College Game Day. We got more on the Hawks. We got a lot still to come. 206-421-3776. It's Brock and Salk with Jake Heaps.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
This band needs to come out with some more music. Brittany, get to work. We need more Alabama Shakes. Where have you gone? It's been years. Come back, tour, make new music, please. If there's any way you're hearing this from wherever you are,
we're hoping you're listening to the show right now.
Please make more music, Brittany. We need it. All right, 206-421-3776. Open lines here for a few more minutes before we answer the question, which is really just open text machine. But Jake Heaps is in, and you guys are in control. 206-421-3776. Who should we grab? Who's been hanging on the longest? That would be Daryl, who's in Renton. Daryl, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Daryl.
First and foremost, my condolences to the Allen family. Reason why I'm calling is because I just don't really understand it, man. This whole Russell Wilson pocket passer idea, you know, that's not his identity. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, our team already was built off of the Lynch, you know, base. And we lost Lynch. We've got we finally are starting to establish a more dominant backfield. But I just don't get it. We're losing that dual threat by keeping them in the pocket. Our line is finally starting to show some strength. But at the same time, again, I just feel like, you know, with him being in the back, holding on to the ball too long versus opportunities for him to run, Russell Wilson, I think his IQ with running that ball, he is very brilliant at knowing how to land, knowing how to slide, knowing how to keep himself from getting hurt when he runs that. And I feel like, you know, this is something that is taken away from, you know, our power. It's just, I don't get it.
Well, Daryl, I understand the sentiment here, and I understand that. I think everybody wants to see Russell take off with the ball more. I don't think there's any question about that, but I will argue that they are forcing him to do so. In the beginning of the season, you could definitely see that, and the pocket was just collapsing around him. It wasn't a good situation. He wasn't being empowered to be himself. So at the beginning of the season, I'm totally with this argument, Daryl. Now I think they finally have gotten back to the Seahawk mojo of being able to run the football and play action pass, and Russell is now starting to create a little bit more. But Russell, here's the interesting thing here, Daryl, is Russell is, like you said, very smart about his moments. He picks and chooses his moments to run the football. And up to this point, he has been very conservative about when he takes off. So the argument, I don't think, is necessarily, you know, the coaches. But if you're saying, hey, I would love to see Russell be more aggressive in running the ball, I can get on board with that. Absolutely.
And he may, and we'll see. You know, I don't know how hurt his hamstring has been. He's obviously been on the injury report. And maybe a couple of weeks off here will end up helping him.
Right. I think it's a little bit of a factor. And I think Russell's just been very picky, you know, choosing his spots, and that's what makes him effective as a runner.
I would like to see him probably hold it a few times more on the read option, not so much because of what it does for him on those plays, but just for keeping those lanes open, giving more space for Chris Carson, and I think it makes those defensive ends think.
Yeah,
and it's not so much that it's not even just in the running game. I think it helps in the passing game.
For sure.
I think if those DNs can't just come crashing in every time, if they know they've got to at least watch out for Russell going in the other direction,
I
would agree. I think that helps. But spare me this. Russell Wilson's not a pocket passer. He absolutely is. He looked great out of the pocket and has the last few weeks when there's been, I don't know, an actual pocket, because the team has actually played pretty well up in front of him. 206-421-3776. How about Will in Tacoma? Will, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Just want to start by saying that, so I grew up in the North Jersey, New York area, so talk radio is all Mike Francesa and Mad Dog. And that was the first thing I noticed when I got out here, was that, wow, these people are actually very civil towards each other. Very nice.
This is weird.
I know, right? That was, so hearing that brought me back. That brought me back a little bit. But my question is, so I think it's safe to say that in college football, teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, like, they've got this year and the next few years on lock. There's not many people that are going to come and upset them.
I don't think anybody can argue that.
Yeah, but looking down the line in 5 years, I think it's safe to say that, you know, there could be some teams starting to make their run now that in 5 years are going to be challenging for those top spots in college football playoffs.
When you say some teams, that's pretty general. Do you have anybody in mind?
So I think in specifically in the Big 12, I think we're about to enter a new era of Oklahoma versus Texas rivalry. I think that was shown in the game 2 weeks ago, and I'm very excited for that personally. I think in the ACC, it's been Clemson at the top and the rest just kind of scrambling for scraps at the bottom. But I may be biased here, but I think Boston College in the next 5 years is poised to make a strike to maybe not take over Clemson.
No, they're not.
Hot take.
No, they're not, and you know it. Come on.
In the next 5 years,
no, they're not. No, no, they're not. It's Boston College. Come on. You know that's not going to happen.
Hot take.
That's not going to happen.
I'm saying they're going to beat Clemson, but I think they'll be competitive.
Come on.
He only caught three passes yesterday for 157 yards. You know how long it takes a jet receiver to get 157 yards? 3 years.
There you go. That's to make you feel at home. All right. 206-421. BC? What's he talking about? Boston College? They don't even like football there.
I don't even know how you could come up with the five-year plan. You don't even know if the coach is going to be there
BC?
In 5 years.
Are they going to bring back Tom Coughlin?
It's awesome.
206-421-3776. BC, come on.
I think that when he's talking about the Big 12 and all that, I think it's we need that. We need the Big 12 to emerge.
Sure.
And these Oklahomas and the Texases, they need to reemerge.
Texas is going to have to prove it before I believe it.
Well, I agree with you.
It's hard for me to be a believer in Texas after the last
The SEC is so dominant in college football right now compared to, I mean, it's always been that way. But
the Big Ten and ACC, though, have closed some of the gap, don't you think, over the last few years?
They have, but as you're looking at this, there's, you know, again, he's talking about ACC, the Clemson is clearly the front runner.
All right, let me grab these last couple of calls because there are two things I do want to talk about. One is it Elias? Good morning, Elias.
Yep. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
What's up?
Great.
I've been in Pullman since Leach has been here, so this is a nut house right now. It's been crazy all week. It's absolutely insane.
Awesome.
I have a question for you guys, though. I don't know what to do. did I just wake up for the last time this weekend, or do I try and get like 2 hours of sleep tonight? Because the gates open at 4
right.
for college game day.
Let me ask you an important question, Elias. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Then you should not go to sleep again. You're probably good. You can probably stay up until the end. If you are 29, maybe I'm going to say 30 is your cutoff. If the first number is a 2, you can probably stay up. Once you've hit 30, you need your sleep.
Yeah.
You've got to rest. You can't possibly hang.
And a nap is actually beneficial. When you nap at 25
right.
or whatever, you wake up more tired
than
you've ever been. And
now,
for me, I can't take a nap because when I wake up.
Really?
No, you cannot be around me for the next 30 minutes when I wake up. No way. You can't talk to me. I'm not in a good mood.
You can't talk to me before I take the nap. That's what you start having kids and turning 40. Those naps are necessary just to make it through the week. All right,
yeah.
Jim's in Walla Walla. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm just curious in regards to Seahawks ownership and the passing of Paul Allen, which I think we all owe him a debt of gratitude, obviously. What's the possibility of Seahawks becoming publicly owned, much like Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think that possibility is right around zero.
It's a cool thought, but yeah.
It's like right, like just nestled up there next to zero.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Why? What do you think the people have $3 billion?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely...
You want to raise the scratch together for $3 billion?
We're starting the campaign right now.
I don't think so, man. I think it's too expensive, and B, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think you want to be owned by the people. That hasn't really been a great thing for the Packers, and I'm not saying that organization isn't special and doesn't do its own things, but you want... I mean, the money and that's a humongous... No.
Yeah.
Let me just say no.
Yeah,
I think it would be a complete abject disaster for that to happen.
It's a very cool thought, just not reality. Not reality at all. And I get the sentiment.
I don't think the NFL's interested in having any more teams owned
but to that guy's interest, though, he's worrying about the idea of an owner coming in and completely changing everything.
I agree.
That would be the one way you could say, we can control somewhat whether this thing completely changes or not.
And I think you're right. That is something that, by the way, doing that would also completely change things because you wouldn't have the resources to just go do everything first class the way it's always
been done. Salk is just holding out on his deep pockets.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Now, look, but the worry is still correct. Look, as we said yesterday, the idea that the Seahawks are going anywhere is absurd. They have a long-term lease. They've got a sellout streak that goes back forever. They've got an incredible fan base. They're in a top market. They are going nowhere.
Yes.
But the odds are that whomever comes in to own this team is not going to be as good as Paul Allen, because Paul Allen was, if not the best, one of the best.
Yes.
So the odds are that if there are 32 owners and he was somewhere in the top three, it's going to be hard to supplant that and do just as well as he did. The next owner will probably be 4 or below.
Right.
And so something will probably fall off due to Paul Allen not being there anymore.
Yeah, and that's why I just say please, 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 please follow the Paul Allen model. He has shown you the way to go about this.
He's Jay Keeps. I'm Mike Salk. We got to answer your questions next. Great job on the phones, everybody. We appreciate it. 710-710.
Good stuff, guys.
Powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject, sports, not sports, whatever it is you got, we're going to answer them all together next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer questions. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Jake Heaps is here answering with me. He's been here all day for Brock, who is off to Dallas. He's got the TCU-Oklahoma game tomorrow morning. So if you want to watch that on ABC, 9 o'clock start. Howdy is here. No Kyle. He's off in Pullman getting ready. Danny, Dave, and more. Danny, I watched Danny leave this morning with all the equipment. They'll be broadcasting from the RV lot. If you were heading over there, if you're already there, you can go say hi to those guys. It is. It looks awesome. I've seen tons of pictures from our coworkers and friends who were there, and it looks awesome, man. I'm jealous. I wish I was going.
Yeah.
Next question.
I don't like missing big events, and I was saying earlier that sort of seems to be the defining characteristic of Seattle, Northwest sports fans. They like a big event.
Yeah.
I do, too. I've come to like big events.
Well, and it's, you know, it's not that hard to get there either.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the part where it's like, man, why didn't I try and go?
I know.
You know?
Why didn't I do that?
Why didn't I do that? I don't know. It'll be fun watching it, though.
All right, let's see what we got from you guys. Howdy, I'm going to need your help on this. Jerks.
Next question.
Do pineapples belong on a banana split? What exactly, how do you define the banana split? Because it's very specific, right?
It is, yeah.
So it's, if I understand properly, a scoop of vanilla, a scoop of chocolate, and a scoop of strawberry
That's
in the
right.
middle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the sides of that, lengthwise, is a banana cut in half, one half on one side, one on the other,
yes.
right? Then
that's what I know.
What I think of is you put chocolate sauce on the vanilla, right? Don't like each of the three scoops have a different type of sauce?
I don't believe so.
I thought one was chocolate sauce, one was caramel butterscotch.
I think that's up for debate.
Yes.
Really?
You could add a little bit to it.
Because okay. I think that the basis of it is what you've described, whipped cream and a cherry.
Okay.
That is a banana split.
But no chocolate sauce or strawberry sauce or anything like that?
That's the basic level of what a banana split is.
See, I thought there was chocolate sauce, strawberry sauce, caramel sauce.
Now,
those
are the three acceptable additions that I would say. And I think that you can spread them across all three evenly.
Right. And then let me tell you.
Pineapple?
I don't know. Like a little ring of pineapple could go over the vanilla.
Good.
I'd be okay with that.
I'm a purist, though. I would have a hard time with that.
Do you like nuts on that?
Yeah.
No.
Shake things up a little
Get
bit.
Get those walnuts off my ice cream. Get them off. They don't belong there. They're ruining the ice cream.
Next question.
Speaking of ice cream, Jerks, if ice cream is the best summertime treat, what is a good fall weather dessert?
Fall weather dessert.
Apple pie.
Yeah, I was going to say pies. Like
pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie.
Thanksgiving. I mean.
Can I just keep this simple for you guys?
Yeah.
Ice cream. What's a good winter treat?
In the fall?
Ice cream. Ice cream 12 months a year, four seasons, 365 days. The answer is always ice cream.
I guess you got a point because with my pie, I'm always going to have ice cream.
That's right. Now, have you ever done cheddar cheese on apple pie? It's a thing.
What? It's a thing?
It is.
Where?
I don't know. People.
People
somewhere. Put cheddar cheese, a slice of sharp cheddar cheese.
You keep floating this out. You keep floating it out to a lot of people.
I've only had it once.
I think Salk's trying to make this a thing.
I'm not trying to make it a thing.
It hasn't yet come back to you.
It's
yet.
A real thing.
I
don't think it's as common as a la mode, obviously.
Right. Interesting.
I'd hope.
Right. Of course.
That's unique. I don't know if I'm bold to try it, though.
No?
Next question.
I don't have that in you.
Yeah, I don't.
All right. Let's see. Guys, with Howdy running the board all by himself, is he still able to ingest a substantial amount of cheese during the show?
No!
Oh, it's sad. Sorry, Howdy.
Running wild back there.
Salk, you won't get up to watch College Game Day tomorrow, so what time do you get up on weekends? And more importantly, what time do your kids get up?
School night!
I don't know. I get up at like 8:30. The kids usually get up at like 7. They watch TV a little bit. They hang out. They're old enough now where they don't need me. So I get up at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. But even when I do, I don't like turning the TV on in the morning. I'm not a morning TV person.
Yeah.
I don't like to turn the TV on until like, 10 o'clock on football days.
Right.
But other than that, like if I were home in the mornings, I would never watch Good Morning America or any of that stuff. I would never watch SportsCenter.
Yeah,
in the
I don't
morning.
Understand how people do that.
I don't put the TV on until nighttime.
Right. When I was a kid, I would definitely wake up to watch college football. I would wake up to watch college football. I was excited. It was kind of the fun thing to do. You're excited
but
for that.
But at 9 o'clock or 9:30 when it started.
Yes. Yes.
Did you watch game day?
No.
Yes.
I didn't wake up at 7 in the morning.
I feel bad about that. A lot of people saying apple pie and cheddar cheese is the real deal. Don't knock it till you try it. It's very Wisconsin. It's really good.
Okay. All right.
No!
All right. Don't have it.
Next
I don't
question.
Care. Don't try it. Don't try it. Don't
Next
do
question.
It.
Whatever
I didn't
you say do, it was Mad
don't
Dog.
Don't try it.
It was Mad Dog.
If you don't like it, don't try it. What do you want in my life? Jerks, howdy. Will the UW basketball team make the tournament this year?
I'm going to go with a surprise no. Surprise no.
How would it be a surprise
no?
Make the tournament forever.
They're about to be third in the conference with 20-plus wins.
But?
I think that some things are going to start to fall apart a little bit. I think they're just a year away if they keep on this trajectory, a year away.
Yeah.
I mean, everything says they should be good this year. They got tons of seniors. They got young talent. They don't have a lot of weak spots in the roster, but I think they're still a year away.
So you're just going with the negative? Just
yep.
The world won't let you be happy
no.
response?
Okay. No. I've been beaten down.
They got a shot at it.
They got a shot.
I like Coach Hopkins. I kind of like that they're an older team. If Noah Dickerson's the player he was last year, if he continues to get better the way, imagine if he makes another jump the way he made the one last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part. I don't know if it's warranted or not yet, but I have a lot of confidence in Coach Hopkins, and I think he's doing great stuff. But on Howdy's point, they just haven't gotten over that hump, and we'll see if this team can do it.
Until you do.
Yeah,
there's got to be some skepticism.
Yep.
Jerks, I'm looking for an inexpensive hobby. Any suggestions? How about skiing?
Inexpensive.
Dude, I tried going skiing for the first time last year, and I may quit already. It's so expensive.
Crazy.
Just thinking about outfitting my family with skis and stuff for the
season. Not even getting to the mountain yet.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, though.
Is it?
It's pretty fun.
I've never skied or snowboarded.
First time ever last year.
Man.
It's pretty fun.
Were you able to stay up pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
I think you'd be all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you're athletic, right?
I've heard a lot of horror stories about snowboarding. Ah, yes. I'm an athlete.
Didn't you call yourself an ex-NFL quarterback today?
I did, yes. I did.
People were mad about that.
Sun, the moon, and the truth. It all comes out.
All right. It may come out again on Monday. I think Jake's going to be back in on Monday, a rare Monday travel day for Brock.
Yeah.
So Jake and I will be back together, talk about a busy NFL weekend, busy college football weekend.
A lot going on.
Hopefully the World Series will be set by then. See whether baseball is rewarded with the Dodgers, which they want, or if the Brewers can pull the upset. Hey, Lorenzo Cain might have been on my list earlier, too. Guys I just would love watching every single game here in Seattle. Jack wanted him to. Zarensic was obsessed with that guy. It never worked out. We'll catch you guys Monday morning at 7 a.m. If you're heading over to Pullman, go say hi to Danny, Dave, and Moore in the RV lot. Until then, the hay is in the barn. See you, everybody.
See ya.
And go Cougs.
Get to the chopper!